Let's ask God's blessing on his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of us being in Christ. We pray as we continue to look at this wonderful truth. May your spirit be at work in our hearts and minds to embrace it and live it out. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In the 1950s, my parents, separately, immigrated from Italy to Australia. They moved to a country that had different laws, actually laws that you actually obeyed, that's a different issue, a different language, a different culture, a different cuisine, different expectations and different manners. And they didn't mix with Australians, particularly at work, but after work they simply socialised only with Italians. But even when they socialised with Italians, there was a narrowness about that, because you see, you didn't normally socialise with Italians from a different region. So even Italians focused on the particular region they came from. And you never married another Italian from another region. I mean, you just didn't do that. And the North, of course, never really thought much about the South. And, well, the South, well, we just ignored the South if you were from the North. So they came from a very different world to where they came. They came with an old way of understanding, only mixing with their own kind and their own region. They brought with them old ways to their new country. And in some ways, they were frozen or locked in. My mother complains a lot about how Italy has changed so much, particularly about family relations and caring for one another. But they did come to a different country. But they were somehow locked into the past, into the old country rather than the new country. As we look at this section in Romans, I hope that we're going to see and understand that we've actually moved from an old country to a new country. We've moved from an old king, an old realm, to a new king, to a new realm, from an old world order to a new world order, and all through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Last week we saw that we are united to Christ. We're united to him through his spirit, and like the branches to a vine, we receive life and power, and we produce fruits because we are in Christ. And being in Christ means that what Christ did, you did. So being in Christ means that you were with Christ when he died and rose again. And that's Paul's point in Romans chapter 6, which has huge implications for us who believe and how we live and how we think about ourselves. We need to know that we have died with Christ, and as Christ has died to sin, to the law, and to death, so we've died to sin, to the law, and to death. And this truth of us having died with Christ has come about at our baptism. So Christian, when you were baptized, you died with Christ. Paul in Romans has been explaining the gospel and how we are saved by grace. But some people are worried that if we're saved by grace, what's the motivation or reason for living a godly or holy life? Just look back at Romans chapter 5, verses 20 to 21. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You think, what a great message. But wait a minute, he says, where sin increased, grace increased the more. So does that mean we should sin more so we get more grace? Well, he answers those questions in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. It's not logical. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Paul is saying we died. We died to sin. And when a person dies, so does all their relationships and all their responsibilities. When you die, you no longer have to pay taxes. You no longer are eligible to be called up for jury duty. You're no longer having to pay any debts. You don't have to get the car fixed. And you don't have to even take the garbage out. Yes. Well, Paul says, Christian, you have died, and your relationship to sin has now ended. So how can you continue to sin? As he says in verse 2, we are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? But when did you die? Well, Paul tells us, when you were baptized. Look at verses 3 and 4. Well, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. Now, before we get into a discussion about baptism, let's look at another passage of Scripture. Good principle to let the Bible, you know, help us understand other parts of the Bible. So if you'd like to look at 1 Corinthians, which will be coming up, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses, there's the phrase, in the cloud and in the sea. So please notice the similar in language. We're Israel was baptized into Moses and we are baptized into Christ. So what actually happened when he talks about Moses? Well, remember, God redeemed his people by Moses, God's appointed mediator. He delivered them from slavery and from the rule of Pharaoh and brought the people into a new relationship with himself. By passing through the Red Sea, Paul is saying they entered into a new way of life and a new way of living. They became, by God's grace, a covenant community with God as their king and not Pharaoh. So the events of the Exodus transformed their lives and gave them a new identity. We need to keep that in the back of our minds. So we go back to Romans, where we are told that Christ defeated death and sin, and it has no longer any rule or power over him. Just go to verses 9 and 11 of chapter 6, please. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. At the cross and by his resurrection, Jesus delivered us from the slavery of sin. By the cross and at his resurrection, Jesus liberated us from the rule of King Sin and brought us under his rule and into the covenant community called the church. So those events that occurred 2,000 years ago changed everything. But how do we join those events? Well, Paul says, at our baptism. Again, go back to verses 3 and 4. Well, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We are therefore buried with him through baptism into death. So Christ is God's new appointed and everlasting mediator who brings us into a new relationship with God. He brings us into a new way of life and a new way of living. But we need to realize that we too have died to sin with Christ. Because being in Christ means that you were with Christ when he died and rose again. And baptism initiates us into God's new covenant community so that we enjoy all the benefits of what it means to be a follower of Christ. In the sense, the preaching and teaching of God's word, the ordinances of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the fellowship of God's people. We become part of the story that began with Jesus' birth, death, resurrection, ascension, and rule. We need to realize that we're no longer under the old order of things, sin and death, but under the new order begun by Jesus. We need to realize that we have actually died to the old order of sin. Look at verses 6 and 7. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, that's with Christ, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. Maybe if you die, all your relationships, all the responsibilities go with you. It goes when you die. That we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. That's a big concept. I know we may not always realize it, but we have been set free from the power and dominion of sin. God's word continues to tell us in verse 11, in the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Because Christ died, we died. Because Christ is no longer under the power of sin, we are no longer under the power of sin. Look again in verse 9. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. Death can't touch Jesus. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now you might say, wait a minute, that's not my experience. First, let me ask you, why do you want to judge God's word on your experience? Why not judge your experience by God's word? Like my parents, like my Italian parents who brought the old ways from the old country with them, so we bring the old ways with us from the old realm and allow them to shape us and not the gospel. See, my parents became Australian citizens, but they didn't start loving football, meat pies, kangaroos and Holden cars. Pasta was still the dish that graced our table. Your experience shouldn't shape your theology, but your theology based on the gospel should shape your experience. So the question is, do you believe that you have died with Christ? Is that the way you think about your Christian life? Are you still living your life as if you're living under King Sin? As if you're still in that realm? As if he still has power over you? Or are you living under King Jesus? See, Paul's understanding of baptism here is not linked to anyone's personal faith or personal experience, but to the events of Christ's life. It is these events that makes baptism what it is, an initiation into the life of the community, covenant community, and into a life of discipleship. So Christian, you have died with Christ and died to the old order, the old realm, and we now need to know that we are to live in a totally new way through the power of the Spirit. We need to continue to think about ourselves in a totally new way. We need to think about our relationship, say, even to sin in a totally different and radical way. We are now to live because of what Christ has done. We need to realize that we are in a new realm, under a new king, and that this king enables us and empowers us to live for him. Going back to John, the branches and the vine, Christ is the source of our life and the source of our fruitfulness. Again in verse 11, this is how we are to understand ourselves. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin but alive in Christ Jesus. Why? Because you died with Christ. He died, sin no longer has power over him, neither does death. In one sense, death has no power over us because we will rise again when Christ returns. We have been raised to Christ. We have been raised to a new life with Christ. Go back to verses 4 and 5. We are therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We'll look at verse 5. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. And in verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we'll also live with him. Yes, we will, future, be raised from the dead, but we're alive today in and through Christ. So we need to live to God as Christ now lives to God, free from the dominion, free from the power, free from the control of sin. Christ is no longer subjected to the power or rule of sin because of his resurrection. So we are no longer subjected to sin because of our resurrection. Yes, I know we live in the world. I know there's the sin around us. But sin has no dominion over us. My parents may have brought the old ways and the old values from the old country, but they did that because they left a peaceful situation. Yes, it was after the war, But Italy wasn't necessarily war torn. It wasn't, you know, there wasn't conflicts within the Italian country. But of course, we've got many refugees who have come to Australia from countries where there's been terrible people in charge, dictators and tyrants, where freedom is non-existent. And where they live their lives in fear. When we were in Griffith and the Riverina, Anna and I and Pip were part of a program that helped to resettle refugees in Australia. And the family that we were given were from Afghanistan. One day we sat with them, having lunch with them, and they told us about their family. They told us about their eldest son who had been killed by the Taliban. They told us about their other son who was missing. And they didn't know if he was alive or dead. We understood the tragedy and the suffering that people do. I mean, who wants to go back to the old country where your freedom is taken away from you and your life is in danger? We need to realize that we have been raised with Christ to a new life of freedom and of faith. We are to live as if King Sin is gone out of our lives and King Jesus now rules our lives through his Spirit. It's because of these truths that being in Christ means that we died with Christ, we were buried with Christ, and we were raised with Christ. And that's a reality. That's a truth. It's not something you need to imagine. You don't necessarily make it true because you believe it. It's a reality if you are a Christian. What Paul is saying in chapter 6 is to live that out. So that now we can say no to sin. That's one of the implications of understanding what it means to be in Christ. We are empowered, enabled to say no to sin. We're no longer sin's puppet. We're no longer its victim. Look at verses 12 and 14. Therefore, based on what Paul has said about being in Christ, dying with Christ, being buried with Christ, being raised with Christ, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. And listen to verse 14. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. You, Christian, have been brought from death to life and are now in Christ. You, Christian, have a new master and his name is Jesus. And you need to live that out. This is not wishful thinking or pretending that you're in Christ. What happened 2,000 years ago actually happened and changed the course of history. And through your baptism, you have now joined the Jesus timeline. Yes, we are still in a world ruled by sin, but we are not ruled by sin. Yes, people are under the power of sin, but we are not under the power of sin, if we truly take what Paul is saying. Yes, people are enslaved, but we are free. Look at verse 18. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Look at verse 22. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. We've been set free. What Paul is saying, friends, live out your freedom in what Christ has done and in dependency on Christ's Spirit. Know who you are in Christ. Know what Christ has done for you. Now how your life has changed. Now, you know, I don't want to rock the boat. I'm not sort of rocking the boat, but I'll rock a little bit of the boat here. In Protestant theology, we're sort of being taught that we're both justified and sinners. And, of course, the guy that did that was Martin Luther, who once wrote that Christians are at the same time righteous and a sinner. And I have no desire to take on the doctor. Okay, I would lose, I'm sure. But I don't think his statement was helpful. Because the Apostle Paul never calls God's people sinners, but always saints, even the Corinthians. Why are they saints? Because they are in Christ. We at times think that we are actually ruled by sin, and we're not. We sometimes think we're under the power of sin. We're not. We have been freed through Christ to live to God. By dying with Christ, we have been set free. Look at verse 7. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. So you need to understand that if you have died with Christ, then you've died to the old realm, the old way, the old country, the old values. We need to think biblically. As I've said previously, don't let your experience shape your theology, but allow God's word to shape your theology and your experience. So we must act like saints, live like saints, think like saints. And I'm not talking about the Roman Catholic saints, but biblical saints who are in Christ and are no longer under King Sin, but under King Jesus. Being united to Christ means living now a new life. As Paul says in verse 11, in the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. The problem is that we do give in to sin too easily. It fools us. We don't take on board what Paul is saying here in chapter 6 of Romans. We still want to, in some ways, live under the old master, which is pretty stupid, because he's not a good master. I mean, he promises us freedom, but he enslaves us. The world tells us, of course, that being under Jesus actually means losing your freedom and becoming enslaved, but that's a lie. Paul is very clear about the consequences of our choices, because in the end there is a choice. I mean, I haven't gone on to verses 15 to 23, but if you read that, it's a choice. If I'm in Christ, I'm going to live a certain way, and I can make certain choices. We need to make choices that reflect that I'm in Christ, that I've died to sin. But it's still a choice. Because Paul says, if you yield yourself to sin, you're the slaves of sin. But there's consequences to our choices if we continue going down that line. Verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So know that Christ continues to do so much for us, in us, by his Spirit today. Being in Christ means that your life has been totally transformed. That Christ, as the vine, enables you and empowers you to live to the glory of God. So it's time to embrace your new king. It's time to embrace your new master. Leave the old country behind. Leave the old master, that tyrant, behind. Start living the way Christ wants you to live. Let God's word shape your theology and your experience and your practice. Understand what it means to be in Christ and with Christ, because in doing so, he empowers you not to let sin reign in your bodies. I mean, that's what Paul says. Don't let sin reign in your bodies. I mean, he's telling you to do that. He's not asking you to do the impossible, because you are in Christ and Christ empowers you. Through Christ, we can offer ourselves to God, because he has brought you from death to life. Knowing that you are in Christ, my friends, enables you, empowers you to live a life that honours and pleases God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that this truth, which is glorious, which is so helpful and empowering, is sometimes something that we've not really heard about or meditated upon. Lord, I do pray that your Spirit will bring this truth to each and every one of our hearts and minds and lives, that we know that we are in Christ, that we have died with him to the power and dominion of sin, that we live like him to God. Help us, Lord, to take hold of these truths, especially as we struggle with sin, particularly, Lord, if we have besetting sins. Help us not to be fooled by King Sin, but to embrace King Jesus and to accept everything that he offers us, being able to resist sin and serve him. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.